Well, in this second stage, Shravana Dasha, then Apana Dasha, Varna Dasha, yeah, acceptance. Varna means acceptance. Varna Dasha. Generally, you have to see the relationship of these five dashas with the nine steps of devotion. There's a relationship. Ado Shara Tata Sarasanga Bhajana Kriya Narta Nirvati Tata Nishta. Then Ruchi, and then Asakti, then Bhava and Prema. So Shravanadasha basically, if you read everything together, so these different dashas, this acceptance, Varna, this, as far as we can understand, this would be the equivalent of Asakti. So when Guru sees that the disciple has actually come to this level of devotion, this level of attachment to Krishna, because you can accept something that you're really attached to. So that after becoming steady and after developing taste, nam ruchi, kata ruchi, because you actually have ruchi for all these things. Because now you have some ruchi of vasa, I'm interested in these things, lila, this, that, I want to participate, but what is the extent of that loba, that greed, and that rag? Because even rag bhakti, preliminary rag bhakti, which is Shravanadasha, includes Shravanadasha. Shravanadasha, that's rag bhakti. That will go. Rag bhakti usually starts at nishta. And that nishta, that Shravanadasha will continue nishta, ruchi up to the beginning of a sakti. So a later part of a sakti, then one will really be so much attached to Krishna. And attached to a particular resonant. Just generic hearing. We can't really genuinely say that we have greed to render the same kind of services that Rupa Mantri is rendering. We have some vague interest, some attraction. Oh, the Leelas are nice. I like to read about them. Where do I start? It's not so simple as it sounds. You know, these are very high stages because up. There's Varnadash, Apanadash, and you actually enter one level, you actually enter the pastimes. It's like Swarup Siddhi. So that's Bhava and Prema. So you can also equate these dashas with these stages. So Varnadasha, and the way we understand it, that's like Asakti. That's like the love. So acceptance, Varnadasha. Varnadasha means you can say it's like at the level of a sakti. So now we say, oh, I want to enter these pastimes. Because that's what happens here. Now someone comes that are in the level of Narta Nivrti and they're given Siddha Pranali. Some gurus are liberal about it and some aren't so liberal. They don't give Siddha Pranali until someone's at the level of a sakti or even bhava. I mean, the guru will give when someone's at that level. So that means that they gauge their disciples. Qualification, enter Leela, enter the Astakali Leela, meditate on it. They're watching until he comes to the level of genuine Asakti, which has quite a lot of characteristics. It's not a cheap thing. Even Ruchi and is not and Nishta. You have to be free from Laya and Vikshape and all these things. That's Anishchita Bhakti. You can see in Madhurya Kadambini. So in general, at this stage of some mild interest, because here they freely give out Siddha Pranali even to someone at the level of Anartha Nivrti, and they don't really get very far. Because they have to continue to chant and continue to get purified. And they have Siddha Pranali, but they can't really use it or get anywhere with it because the mind is too much distraction, too much impurity. So until they come to the level of a Sakti or Bhava, they can't actually enter the Leela which they were aspiring to enter. And they can't actually do service there in the Siddhadeya that they've been given because the mind is too disturbed and too distracted and too contaminated. You can't serve in a leela that you can't meditate on. you can't meditate for more than 1 second. So how do you enter the leela? The leela comes in your mind, goes out of your mind. It's here and gone. So this idea, the emphasis on nam, is you purify the internal. More emphasis on nam, chanting nam and purifying the mind, and rising to the level of nishta to ruchi to asakti. And then at the level of a sakti, then one is genuinely, internally qualified to actually receive Siddha Pranali. So at that time, one will, if one takes such a thing, he may get some success with it. But before we come to the level of a sakti, and you can see what the characteristics of a sakti are, because that's what you see, you're citing Jiva Dharma, Vajranava and Vijay Kumar. If you look at their life story, and when did they get Siddha Pranali, the last chapters? And what's before that? They mastered all the tattvas. They heard from their guru, Radha Tattva, Prema Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Nam Tattva, and they intensely practiced name, and they were showing in their behavior, if you read very closely, they were showing that they were exhibiting sattvic bhavs when they were chanting the holy name. They weren't falling asleep when they were chanting. They were crying. Their hair was standing on end. They were trembling. And that condition, at that level of a sakti, and practically, and you could say bhav, they approach the guru and say, we are interested. We now that we're at the level of a sakti and bhav, we want to enter the pastimes of Krishna. This is what they were saying. Jai Ho Maharaj. So the Varna Dasha, this level of acceptance is pretty much, you know, if you look at these three things, it's pretty much equivalent with, I would say, a sakti. So what to do? So because if you use the Jiva Dharma as a template, then you see that, all right, let us follow the path, and let us do Nambhajan to such an extent that we come to the platform of Saptic Bhavs. Because you really what the Jiva Dharma is teaching, yes, they went to Puri, and they went to Dhyan Chandra and Gopal Guru under the advice of whomever, you know, Prem, Babaji, or whatever it was. Whoever their Shiksha Guru was, Shiksha and Diksha Guru. Raghunath Das Babaji. He advised them, he gave them so much Shiksha, and others were giving him Shiksha and Diksha. But then, after so much, with that Guru, you could say they came to the level of Bhav. You follow? This is, if you want to take Jiva Dharma, is it? They received the Shiksha and Diksha from that Guru, and they applied themselves deeply to Bhajan, very sincerely to Bhajan, and they started exhibiting Sattvic Vikar, and all the symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. So it indicates that they're on the level of Bhava Bhakti. And then they asked their Guru. Now they've been doing Vaidhi Sadhana, then Raghunuga Sadhana, and now they come to the level of Bhava. And now they're at the level of Bhava, and they're saying, Guruji, can you tell us, reveal our Siddhadeya to us? He said, no, I can't do that. That's not within my power. But I advise you to go to a Shiksha Guru for this function. So you go and you see this Tapuri. So he sent them on. So basically, they accepted Siddha Pranali from the level of Bhava. They approached the Guru and they took Siddha Pranali when they were at the level of Bhava. So before that, before they took Siddha Pranali and they attained the level of Bhava, they deeply studied all the tattvas, as which is described in Jiva Dharma, 600-800 pages. Rasa Tattva, Jiva Tattva, etc. And they deeply perform Naam Bhajan. So the basis of their perfection, the basis of their Siddha Pranali was Naam Bhajan. That was the Abhideya. And they had chanted so perfectly and so purely and without any offenses. They first chanted Namabhas, then they came to the platform of Shudanam, then they contacted all these different bhavas. And then they took Siddha Pranali. So then they accepted, that was their varna, their shravanam, they did shravana dasha. They did shravana dasha practically up to the level of bhava. And then they did varna dasha. So this is what I can conclude from there. So we follow a similar path. We say, do intense nam bhajan, learn all the tattvas, and of course, part of rasa tattva is to read the technical books about rasa, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and commentaries, and Ujjala Nilamani. And also read the rasa shastras, like Bhagavatam, Govinda Lilamrita, Bhavanamrita. We read them with commentaries or with explanations from Gurudev or Shiksha Gurus, in association with advanced Vaishnavas who can explain the Aishvarya with the Madhurya. Because if we only read the Madhurya again, then we may become sahajiya, or we may make aparad. We may develop misconception, and think that Krishna is ordinary or his pastimes are mundane. It's very intimate and very confidential. People often become bewildered when they read about Krishna's pastimes. Is this really true, Maharaj? That Radha and Krishna they kiss and they go in a kunj and they enjoy like man and woman enjoys? They do like that? Is that what I read? And they say, yes, that's what they do. How can God do this? It doesn't, you know, and they get bewildered and they become atheists. They can become so crazy. They don't have the adhikar, the proper Aishwarya Gyan, proper understanding of Krishna's vibhuti and Krishna's Aishwarya Tattva. That's why 9 cantos are there in the Bhagavatam. That you seriously study the 9 cantos so you can understand the grandeur of God, the omnipotency and power of God before you understand the sweetness. First, the power. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. All wealth, all power, all strength. This is the grandeur. This is the vibhuti. This is the Aishwarya Maya Gyan. That's the foundation to enter the Madhurya Maya Gyan, the sweetness, the Leela Madhurya, the Vena Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya. This is the Madhurya Gyan, the sweetness of Krishna. But that's all Nara Leela, it's all human-like. All this intimacy, God, the intimate God, the confidential, loving God, the God with illicit lovers. This is the highest concept. And even Brahma became bewildered, and Shiva, and Indra, and so many gods and demigods became bewildered by the Madhurya aspect of God. So what to speak of us? So therefore so much inner purification has to be there by Nam Bhajan, Cheto Dharvana Marjanam, and so much education has to be there by Tattvagyan and Sarusanga, and so much surrender has to be there by Seva. So this, all these things purify us, purify our intelligence, purify our heart and our consciousness so we can understand the Madhurya, the Nara Leela, the human-like, seemingly exactly same human pastimes that we have, that God's having. But there's a world of difference. One is like gold and one is like iron. Krishna's Leela is Prem Leela, our Leela is Kaam, lust. So, in practical terms, it's an education. We have to be educated, study these different tattvas. And that's why the books of Rupa and Sanatan have been given to us they've been given to us to get an understanding of Sambandha and Avideya. And when that's very deep, then we enter into Prayojan. And because, of course, there's some books also of Sambandha by Raghunath Das Goswami, but primarily many of his books are for the higher level of bhajan and meditation. Now we read these things and we see how our response is. If we read Krishna's intimate leelas with the gopis, Nikunja Leela, and we become agitated or sex or become disturbed, then we can understand that there's some deficiency in us. There's some weakness, it's ridai durbalyam. There's weakness of our heart. There's some apathy in us, that we're not understanding Krishna, and we're still thinking we're the enjoyer, and we're putting, as my friend once said, don't put your face on Krishna's. Very interesting phrase. And when we see Krishna enjoying with the gopis, and we say, well, this is me, I'm in Nikunj, I'm with the gopis. So then we become agitated, because we identify as being the enjoyer. So we read about Krishna touching the gopis' breasts or their thighs, which is right in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Then we become agitated. Oh, I want to touch the gopis' breasts and thighs. So we become agitated. Or vice versa, women think, oh, Krishna, they embrace Krishna's strong chest or this or that. Or the gopis lie on top of Krishna. All these things are very, very deep and rahasya. And they're not for the marketplace. These type of deep topics of Gita Govinda and 10th canto Bhagavatam and Chandidas and Vidyapati's love poems. Chandidas and Vidyapati wrote very wonderful love, the stories of Radha and Krishna's loving pastimes, and Viraha Bhav and Milan and separation. But these were relished by Lord Chaitanya with 2 people in the end of his life, in the Gambira, in the last 6 years of his life, with Lalita and Vishakha, 2 most intimate companions of Radharani. Surup Damodar Lalita and Rai Ramananda Vishakha. So Krishna and the mood of Radharani is relishing these intimate pastimes. So we think we can just run in and read all these things as a stumbling, bumbling neophyte. We can read Gita Govinda and Krishna Karanamrita and all these intimate poems. We can maybe look something, have a look and see what is the content and appreciate the poetry and a description. But generally it's told that we should first go through Anartha Nivritti, then Nishta, then Ruchi. And to level Anartha Nivritti, we should of course read the first 9 cantos of Bhagavatam deeply and understand them and become purified by that association, that exposure. Then when we approach Krishna Leela, we can read the Aishwarya Leela, Aishwarya Madhurya Leela of Dwarka, or the Aishwarya Madhurya Leela of Mathura. Or if you read Braja Leela, then you read about the demon killing, as those papers I gave you, some of my students, you have those papers, over 70 obstacles to Braj Bhajan, and those different demons represent different anarthas. So then we read those demon killing leelas and pray that those anarthas will be removed from our heart. So this is all part of the purification process, so we become qualified for acceptance. So we read and we chant and we go on, and Krishna will make all adjustments. It's very easy to go to any liberal. You can go to any liberal guru, liberal Gaudiya Vaishnava guru, and get this pranali. I thought it was very interesting. I heard one point was being discussed about Babaji's. You know, they were criticizing in the 30s. They were criticizing Bhaktisiddhanta. They said, "Oh, you're giving Brahmin thread to all these people. They're not even Brahmins. They're not born in Brahmin families. You're giving Shudras and Vaishyas, everyone Brahmin thread. This is ridiculous. You're making a mockery." Because in the Babaji line, in about most of the Babajis and Gaudiyas, they give great respect to the Brahmins, the Goswamis, Nityananda Vamsha, Advaita Vamsha, the descendants of Nityananda and Advaita Acharya coming in their family line, especially Nityananda because it's quite a large family line. Can you tell? So in the Babajis, they give great respect to the Nityananda Gosais. They usually have long hair. You must have seen them. I don't know if you're from Bengal, but they have very long hair and they usually come and they think that they're very, very high persons. And some of them may be. So they were criticizing. One Babaji was meeting with one follower, one sannyasi follower, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, "Oh, you people, the Gaudiya Math, you're giving Brahmin threads to all these people." And then the sannyasi was saying, "That's because we're trying, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is trying to establish that Vaishnava is more than a Brahmin. The Brahman platform is only Brahmaloka. Brahmavidya, this is Brahmabhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakanshati Samasarvesha Bhuteshu. This is Brahman Gyan. And then this is the beginning. From this platform, then you can begin devotion. Madbhakte Lavate Param. Lavate means you can accept. You can begin devotion after Brahman. Brahmabhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakanshati Samasarvesha Bhuteshu Madbhaktim." That after Brahma Bhuta means Brahman platform, Aham Brahmasmi, Brahman platform, Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya takes, so a Brahman, he knows Brahmavidya. He's on the Brahman platform. He's prasnatma, he's free from hankering, lamenting. But a Vaishnava, that's where bhakti begins. Madbhaktim Lapateva. My devotee, he begins there. So Vishnavidya, which is far beyond Brahmavidya. So a Vaishnava, one who's surrendered to dedicate his life to worshipping Vishnu or Krishna, he's far more than a Brahmin. Far more. So then he was trying to establish that by awarding Brahmin threads to duly qualified Vaishnavas. He would qualify someone with Panchasamskara. With Panchasamskaras, he would qualify his disciples and then give them Diksha, Vaishnav Diksha, and award them Brahmin threads. Even Mleches and Yavanas born in America, they will become Brahmins, Dvija, second born, because they have all the qualities. Samodamastapasham, Shantim. These qualities are there in Bhagavad Gita. Samodamastapashocham, Shantirajam, Evacha, Gyanavigyanamashtakyam, Brahmakarma, Sabhavajam. So these are the qualities of the Brahmin. So by guna and karma, they were Brahmins. And they were more than Brahmins because they're Vaishnavas. So they're Vaishnava Brahmins. That's the best. Vaishnava is much more than a Brahmin because he's way beyond Brahmaloka. Beyond Brahma, what's beyond Brahmaloka? Brahman means you go to Brahmanloka. Brahmaloka. Beyond Brahmaloka is Paravyam, Vaikuntha, and ultimately Goloka. Braja Gokula is the highest of all the Vaikuntha planets, and the Vaishnava is going there, the Radha Krishna Bhakta. So he was explaining like this. Our Guru Maharaj is doing like this. So then the sannyasi asked the Babaji, who was the famous Siddha Babaji of Vrindavan in 1930s. His name was Ramakrishna Baba. Not Ramakrishna Mission, his name is Ramakrishna Baba. So then he asked him, he said, what is higher? He said, is giving the kopan higher or is giving Brahman thread higher? This sannyasi asked the Babaji. And the Babaji said, well, because kopan means giving the Paramahamsa. The Paramahamsa, the sannyasis, the Paramahamsas, they're awarded kopan. Radhe Radhe. So then he asked the Babaji, he said, which is higher, awarding the Brahman thread or giving the kopan? Because kopan is given, the Babajis give kopan. It's because kopan is considered Paramahamsa or sannyas or Paramahamsa. Last order of life is kopan. No, not supposed to. That's actually initiation, receive the kopan. Like Six Goswami, just like Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya gave Nityananda's kopan to Sanatana Goswami. Some part of his kopan. And of course, Sanatana became a great Vairagi, Six Goswami's. There's that prayer, Six Goswami's prayer. Tyaktwa turnam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sadatu chavat. Kopina, says Kopina, Kantashito. Kopina Kantashito. They took shelter, they received the kopin. So the sannyasi, the Gaudiamath sannyasi, asked the Ramakrishna Babaji. He was considered a siddha at the time. I think he's in Obiol Kapoor's book also. He said, so which is higher? And then the Babaji said, oh, giving kopin is higher. And then the sannyasi said, but you give kopin to anybody. Anybody that comes to your camp. Anybody come? Any rickshawala comes, any kshatriya comes, any vaishya comes, any shudra, any brahmin, anyone that comes to your camp and he surrenders to you, says, "Oh, I want siddha pranalaya. I want to wear bake, bhikshu. I want to surrender here my whole life and do braj bhajan." Then you give him kopan. A kopan is paramahamsa sannyas. So then the Babaji became quiet. He realized, well, yeah, we don't. There's no qualification. Anyone can come and get the highest order. They're giving the highest order, kopan, of a paramahamsa, or of a sannyasi. They're giving to anyone. Because the Babaji was saying, you should only give. Your Bhakti Sananda is making a mistake. He's making an offense to the Vedas, by giving this diksha Brahman thread to non Brahmins by birth. Only a Brahmin by birth can get the Brahman thread. That was his argument. And they all believed, the whole camp, they all believed like that. All the Babajis and all the Gaudiyas, they believe that, you know, they have such high regard for the Brahmins. They have very high regard for this Goswami, that Goswami, so many caste Goswamis. They have a high regard. When Gaudiya Math doesn't have so much high regard in general. So then he actually defeated the Babaji in one sense. The Babaji said, well, yeah, because they give the kopan to anybody. And that's supposed to be the highest qualification, become Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa is beyond sannyas. Beyond sannyas is Paramahamsa. It's the fourth order of sannyas. There's the first thing is Kutichak. Kutichak sannyas. Kshetra sannyas. Kutichak. Then there's Bahodak. Bahodak sannyas. Then there's Paribrachak sannyas. Then there's Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa sannyasi is the same like a Babaji Paramahamsa. White cloth. There's no designation then. No upadi. You're not in the varnashram. Because sannyas is for Gostyanandi. Sannyas. The Paribrajak, the Udak, and the Kutichak is for Gostyanandi, for preaching. But then the last level of sannyas called Paramahams. Then you wear white cloth and bake. Or Baba, you can say now they call it Babaji, your white cloth, Paramahams. And that's Bhajanandi. He's a Bhajanandi, he doesn't preach. He's just absorbed. He's Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa means he sees everyone engaged in Krishna's service. He's not Uttam coming to the Madhyam platform. He's Uttam Adhikari. There's Uttam Madhyam, Uttam Kanishta, Uttam Madhyam, Uttam. Madhyam Kanishta, Madhyam Madhyam, Madhyam Uttam. Then there's Kanishta, Kanishta Madhyam, Kanishta Uttam. There's nine divisions of devotees, nine adhikaris. So when you become Uttam Uttam, and you don't want to come down because of your own predilection, or your own inspiration, your own inner guidance, and Krishna wants you to just absorb yourself in Nirjan Bhajan, then you become Paramahamsa. And that's the fourth order of sannyas. So then that's Vajranandi. So this thing, which is represented by the kopin, that ashram, that position, is given to anybody. Any rickshawala comes from Calcutta and goes to Mayapur in the weekend. Any grihasta that goes in the weekend to Mayapur, he can get Siddha Pranali. He's a Vishayi. He's enjoying with his wife, and he gets Siddha Pranali. That's why Bhakti Sanatana thought this is a mockery. How is this? They're giving this Siddha Pranali, this kopin, to anybody, any time they can hurry. And then they're criticizing me. Even to this day, the Babaji, they criticize Gaudiya Math for giving this upavita, this Brahman thread, we call Brahman thread, upavita, to non-Brahmins. And there's no basis, because all of Bhakti Sanatana's teachings are based on Bhagavatam. Anyone who's a Vaishnava is more than a Brahmin. There's so many verses there. So taking these verses and this pramana as his support, then he implemented this practice to announce to the world that the Vaishnavas are more than Brahmins. They're very revolutionary. Basically, most of the followers of Bhakti Sanatana, they felt that Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati is actually coming down from that plane. He was coming down from inner circle of Radharani's Manjaris. Nayanamani Manjari is his Manjari name. Nayanamani Manjari came down from the inner circle of Radharani's Sakhi Manjaris, Pran Sakhi's Manjaris, to come here and establish a preaching mission. And that's what they accept as senior sannyasis like our Guru Maharaj and others, Sridhar Maharaj and Bhakti Pragyankesha Maharaj and Madhav Maharaj and others. Whereas there's others that may be siddhas of this world, but they're on the Roha Panta. Maybe this Siddha Mahatma, this Siddha Babaji, that Siddha Babaji. They're in this world, in this plane, and they're doing bhajan, and they're very strict about austerities, and they're bhajan, and they're chanting, and they're going up, ascending, a Roha Panta, ascending by their bhajan, by their surrender, to that world, to the spiritual world. But they're not there yet. And they're following a very patent path, a very patent and standard path. This path that my guru, everyone followed, and this is the standard path we follow. How much they've realized and perfected on that path, that's only they know. Bhakti Sanatana came from that plane to introduce something very, very pure representation of Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So therefore his loyal followers, they adhere to his teachings and try to go forward. Because generally we don't see this premature path, premature adoption of this high practice, we don't see much success there. Admittedly, in the path of depending on Nam Bhajan, it's a slower path, seemingly slower, because it's completely avaroha. It completely depends on the ascension of mercy. It's Nam Bhajan with education, study, prayer, hankering, utkantabhav, sharanagati bhav, utkantabhav, dainya bhav. These are the elements of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Bhajan, the way which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave. Development of Dainya Bhav, Sharanagati Bhav, and this Utkanta Bhav, intense eagerness and yearning and surrender. You understand these terms? Humility, Dainya Bhav, humility, submission, Guru Seva. But everyone here, everyone here, the Western devotees, as soon as they get their pranali, then they lock themselves up in the room. They hardly associate with any Vaishnavas. It's very much a solo program. Fly your own plane, which means they can maintain your independence. You maintain your independence and not surrender. No Sharanagati Bhav. But when you're under Guru, you're cracked. Your ego gets cracked. You have to Sharanagati. Guru cracks the ego. And when the ego's cracked, then you leave the world. The last covering of this world is ego. There's eight coverings of this universe. There's earth covering, water covering, fire covering, air covering, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, then hankar. There's eight coverings. And so the last covering is like an eggshell, you know, the last part of the eggshell. You can imagine layers of the eggshell. The last covering is false ego. When you crack that covering, then you're in paravyom. You're in the spiritual world. So that's not easy. So that has to be done by sadhu sangha, by guru sangha, Vaishnava sangha. So now this enthusiasm, this eagerness, it has to be sustained with patience. Because Upadeshamrita is a wonderful... Upadeshamrita of Rupa Goswami is a complete summary of Sambandha Abhideya. The whole Vedas are summarized there. The entire Vedic literature is summarized in 11 instructions. It's a masterpiece. The entire Vedas. The whole Vedas is summarized in Upadeshamrita. It's called Nectar Instruction. How many? 11 teachings. The entire Vedic literature. 50 million shlokas. How many shlokas are there in the Vedas? They're summarized into 11. That's called sutra. Sambandha is there, Abhideya is there, Prayojan. This book, it's the one shot and everything. Upadeshamrita. Rupa Goswami Pada Ki Jai. And everything else is just elaboration of that. And whatever is told in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, whatever is told in Bhagavatam, whatever is told in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, these are just elaborations of those 11. Manashiksha, Utkalika Valari, and there's so many, Lalita Madhav, all these things. But the basis is there, everything is there, deeply. So look at number one. Cross instruction number one. Vashu Vegam Manasakota Vegam Jiva Vedam Mudrapasta Vegam. Nandadati Pratigrinati. Where is the loving exchange with devotees? So much emphasis on sadhusanga. Dadati Pratigrinati, that's all about sadhusanga. Everybody just locks themselves in their own kutir. They come out for the pot. There's some pot in the afternoon, they come out for the pot, they sit there for the Bhagavat pot. Acha, ah, bodhacha, and then go back. And then they come for darshan of guru. Because I know, my friends, they tell me, that are the disciples of Anantadas. And I have all regard for him, and he's a very wonderful devotee and pundit. And no question of his position, exalted position, but many of his Western followers, they come, and because the guru is here, and they're also living here, they come every day, offer pranams and go. And hardly any of them ever ask questions about bhajan, because they're not doing bhajan. Nothing's coming up in their mind. Although they have pranali. It's Jai Gurudev, sit down. Any question? No, I want to go. It's not such an easy thing. Everything develops according to our sincerity. But your inner guide will not mislead you. The inner guide is Chaitya Guru. So how to proceed is you can follow the template, you can follow the example. Well, how did they go? Well, they chanted intensely and sincerely. They came through Shudanam and they learned all the tattvas. And they had constant association with advanced devotees. Constant association. This is terms of Jiva Dharma. So let me try to orient my life like that and see if I get the result they got. Because either way, if you're on that path as they show, the Nam itself, in other words, they were chanting the name and they came to the name created necessity. The word prayojan means necessity. That's what it means. Prayojan means necessity. So they had attained Sambandha Gyan and they were practicing intensely Bhakti Yoga, Abhideya. Then they were approaching the threshold of Prayojan in a very strong way, in a very intense way. And they developed an intense inner necessity to the point that they were crying and rolling on the ground. Their hair was standing on end. They were trembling. Their voices choked up. And they were feeling, I can't live. I can't live unless I enter the pastimes. I cannot live another second in this body unless I can enter the pastimes and render service to Radharani and the gopis. That's called Varnadash. Varnadasha. Shravanadasha, Varnadasha. So who has that intensity? This is what they're showing. You have to read tightly this book. The story and everything is very tight. So we have a lot of homework to do, a lot of study to do from our side. And develop this necessity where that's why prayojan means necessity. It means the goal, the culmination, the goal. The goal is prem, Krishna prem, the prem seva, the eternal loving service of Radha and Krishna and the groves of Vrindavan, in our Siddhadeya, in our Surup city, in our spiritual body, our Nitya Deha, our Nitya Shari, our perfect spiritual body, which will be attained at the point, at the level of Bhava. It'll actually be attained. The body is already there. Spiritual body doesn't get created. It's eternal, Nitya. Nitya Deha. Siddha Deha means perfect eternal Deha. It's already existing. It's not really created. It's not like manufactured in a factory, like a dress or something. They're lying in it, some type of dormant condition, you can say, in the spiritual world. either in Vaikuntha Rupa or Braja Gokul, Braja Rupa, these two types. So the jiva will attain that Rupa at the proper time. It will come to him, be revealed to him. So that this can come, when you come to that level by Nam and by study and by Sarasanga and all these bhavas I told you about, Sharanagati Bhav and Dainya Bhav and what was the other one? Utkantita means intense eagerness, yearning, these three bhavas, when they're all combined, and then a name is when you're chanting Shudanam, then you have intense necessity. So either, because Guru, you have to understand, Guru Tattva is Sarup Shakti. Guru Tattva is Sarup Shakti. So, attaining the Sarup, to attain your Sarup, you need to contact Sarup Shakti. Sarup means your spiritual form. Your Siddhade means Sarup. And Siddhade means Sarup Shakti. So how, if you go in now, and you're Tatastha Shakti, Nityabhada, and full of anarthas, how you realize your Sarup? Just by getting Siddha Pranala. You don't. You have to contact Sarup Shakti. Sarup Shakti has to envelop you. Sarup Shakti has to bathe you and shower over you and wash you. So the Nama Sarup Shakti, Namrup Gunalila Sarup Shakti, and Guru is Sarup Shakti, and the Parishas are Sarup Shakti. Sarup Shakti means Antaranga Shakti. Sarup Shakti means Ladini Shakti and Samvit Shakti. So knowledge is Samvit Shakti, and love or bliss or ability to love or bliss or experience rasa, this is Ladini Shakti. So these two Shaktis, this is Sarup Shakti, plus also Sandini, but these two are actually embodied in Bhakti Devi. So the Guru is the embodiment of Bhakti. He's the giver of Bhakti. So he's Sarup Shakti. So either through Nam, you'll chant the Nam, and the Nam is Sarup Shakti, will create such an intense necessity within you that you have to realize your Sarup. So then the Nam will lead you to Guru, and then the Guru will tell your Sarup, he's also Sarup Shakti. Or he'll guide you to a Shiksha Guru with Sarup Shakti to tell your Sarup. Or one of the Parishads of the Lord, the Nam, the Sarup Shakti of Nam, will connect you with one of the Parishads of the Lord, like Rupa Mandri. If you're Taratmika, you're Tanmoy, if you're one in your mind, heart, Sri Rupa Mandri Pad, Say More Sampad, says, you're my mantra, you're my bhajan, you're my everything. Narottam is praying to Rupa Mandri. He says, he's Tanmoy, he's one with Rupa Mandri. So either one of the Sarup Shakti Parishads, Rupa Mandri, Rati Mandri, Raghunath Das, Goswami, Rupa Goswami, or Lita Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi, or Radharani herself, or Krishnaji, or Guruji, they're all Sarup Shakti. They're all representatives of one Shakti, Sarup Shakti. Any one of them can give you your Sarup, reveal your Sarup, including the Nam itself. So this is the path that we're treading. We're laying heavy emphasis on Nam, but our main emphasis is on Sarup Shakti. And we have to chant the Nam. Our chanting of the holy name has to come to the platform of Sarup Shakti, and that's what Shudanam is. Shudanam is the appearance of Sarup Shakti in the heart of the jiva. When we chant Shudanam, then Sarup Shakti descends into the heart of the jiva and reveals his identity and Krishna's identity, that's Samvit, which means knowledge. You get knowledge of who you are and who is Krishna, that's Samvit Shakti. And you get knowledge of your relationship, your loving relationship with Krishna, which is your Sthayi Bhav, and that's called Ladini Shakti. And that's all affected by contacting Sarup Shakti through the Nam, through Shuddha Nam. So this is all arrangements of Sarup Shakti, Guru, Nam, and Parishads.